Good to have Phil and little Phil and Adoniah. Did I say it right? And I didn't get your name. Danae. All right, very good. And good to have them with us. And pray that service is a blessing to you tonight. Open your Bibles up to, I guess we'll start in Romans tonight. Appreciate you singing that, girls, and that sounded real nice. And the message there is strong, so praise the Lord. Hold your hand in Romans, Romans chapter 3. Thank you, brother. And Romans chapter 3, and then jump over to John chapter 3. We'll read one verse out of John 3, then we'll go back to Romans. John chapter 3 and verse 36. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Let's pray and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these that are here. Thank you for these precious songs and that testify of your grace and your mercy and your love toward us. Lord, thank you that you care for the lost. God, may we get a little bit of that here tonight. That we too would care for the lost. Lord, help us. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. John 3:36, "And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." I remember some years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, Brother Torres. Remember Brother Torres, a missionary to Spain? And he was giving his testimony and he read Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And he said, if that verse is true, then I need to change what I do. And if John 3:36 is true, then we need to give attention to it. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. I'm going to plead with you tonight on behalf of the Lord, that we would all consider a vocation or a ministry that we all get involved in, and that is soul winning. Soul winning is not for the one group and not for another. Soul winning is for all of us as Christians. And I would like to show you maybe that, and over the next few weeks on Sunday nights, try and encourage you in that way. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." That verse indicates that all are sinners. If we look at Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Once again, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." See, as we spoke this morning, I had to get lost before I could get found. That's these verses. These are the verses that we open up and show to the lost, showing that we're sinners. Even the most noble and the most righteous of mankind has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, that puts man in a bad way because he's offended a righteous God. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." See, there's a time period where sin has a pleasure, but the consequence of sin is death. The payment for sin one day will be death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Although I'm one day going to have to pay that wage, again, very similar to when I go to the grocery store and I load up my cart and I come up to the little register thing, and there they scan my stuff. I don't know that. Not a lot of places do it like Wegmans anymore. They put you to work. They make you wring out your own stuff and bag it, and then you got to call someone over, and it's a pain. But Wegmans, pretty much, you put the stuff on the conveyor belt, and they take it, and they scan it for you, and they put it in the bag, and then they put it back in your cart. And then, if you would like to leave with those groceries, you have to pay for them. So you open up your wallet and stick a credit card in, or cash, or whatever it is, and you're giving payment for that. Well, the payment for the cart full of sin that we have is eternal death. And God came along, Jesus Christ, and made an exchange. For the wages of sin is death. So thankful that the verse did not end there. Because that is a true statement. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've been given a gift, and we spoke about this a couple weeks ago. The gift of grace. God giving us something that we don't deserve. We ought to be at the cash out paying for our sin. But God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a gift. Eternal life. And I'm going to exchange that eternal damnation for eternal life. Then we go to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't wait till we got good. No, he died for us when we were bad. When we were sin. In Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the payment of your sin. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Isn't that good that God is no respecter of persons concerning salvation? Whether you're a Jew or a Greek, or whether you're rich or poor, whether you're a man or a lady, whatever it is, a child or on your deathbed, it doesn't matter. If you call upon God, he can save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to 10 verses is what we call the Romans Road. And that, methodically, with maybe a lot of other interjection, is enough to lead someone to Christ through the Scriptures. And we're going to talk about an additional thing that is necessary for that. But it's as simple as that. Simple enough that even a child could understand. Acknowledging that I'm a sinner, repenting of my sin, and asking Jesus Christ to save me. Say, what do I have to do? Do I have to join? No, you don't have to join anything. Just ask Jesus to save you. The problem with mankind is that there's a deadly plague which affects all of humanity. That's sin. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says this. Romans 5, 12. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So every one of us are sinners by nature. And then not only by nature, but by choice. We choose to sin. We choose to tell a lie. We choose to dishonor our parents. We choose to steal, and all of those other commandments found in Exodus. and we choose it. And we bring upon a plague upon us. Sin. That's the problem. How many of you here were ever lost? Anybody ever lost? Everybody. And somewhere along the way, somebody came by. Maybe the person that led you to Christ is in this very room. So how'd that happen? Someone cared for your soul. I'm glad Jim cared for Ed, pleading with his brother. Aren't you glad someone reached out to you? Aren't you glad someone went after you? Aren't you glad that someone saw that you were worth something? So what is soul winning? Soul winning is three things. If you don't have Romans Road written down, just take a little pen and just mark those verses down. Romans 3:10, 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, 10:9 through 13. Have those. Have those committed to memory. Why? Because it's a lot easier to recite it from memory when your Bible's upside down in front of somebody else, showing them. And we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. But what is soul winning? Well, soul winning is communicating with the lost that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that are separated from God. Sharing the good news that the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is payment for sin. And sharing with the lost and showing the lost how to receive Jesus as their personal Savior. That's all that soul winning is. It's communicating the Romans Road message to someone that does not know. You know, this week we're talking about, at Vacation Bible School, a guy named John Payton left Scotland to go to this little set of islands in the middle of the Pacific where there were cannibals. Known men that did horrific things to other men. And he said, they need to hear about Christ. Not about Scotland. Not about a game called cricket. Not about tea and not about sports and not about industry. They need Jesus Christ. So he left the comforts of his world and went to what I would consider a God-forsaken place to go win souls. So why would he do that? Because he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And he couldn't sleep at night knowing that there's a group of people that had never heard about Christ. And God placed something in his life that made him concerned for the lost. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I might be wrong, but in the Navy, when they prepare a ship for to do a certain job, when they prepare a vessel, it's a commissioning. Is that am I right to commission a ship? Oh, okay, yeah, right. It's to give it a mission. So send it on its way. A ship. I get confused. I Grandpa Haight, every time I call it a boat, it's a ship. Okay. Unless it's a sub, and then it's a hoagie. All right, very good. So, but they have the ship. What is the purpose of the ship? To sit in the harbor and look pretty? Oh, no. The purpose of the ship is to go out and perform a task. And they commission the ship or the vessel to go do that. Well, we as Christians, why did Christ save us? To just look pretty? Hope not. I'm failing. He's commissioned us. In Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That includes the cannibals of Vanuatu and the college students of Brockport, New York. And the elderly over at Hilton East. And the fatherless that live in County Line Trailer Park. And the person that lives next door to you. Because it says all creatures. Preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew chapter 28. We have been given a commission. Not just a commission, the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he gives us this promise, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. John chapter 20. This morning we looked at a passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 11 and verse 17 and 18. And we developed the thought of we need to be involved in what God's involved in. And God is all about reaching the lost. Say, how do I know? Because I read the book. And he went to great lengths pay for our sin. If that's what God is concerned about, well, then that's what I need to be concerned about. We get distracted really easily. This afternoon, I'm standing in my kitchen. Sarah's at the table, and I was doing something. I think I was getting a cup of coffee, and yesterday's coffee. You know, it's still good. It's cold. Just no? Okay. I was there, and she's like, hey, can you feed the dog? I'm like, yes, I was just going to do that. And so I was pouring the coffee, and then I'm standing there, I'm like, what was I going to do? I said, what did you just ask me to do? She's like, you were talking about your coffee. I said, no, you asked me to do something. And I said I was just going to do that. And that's how we live our life. That's how we go. We are easily distracted. I don't even know if the dog got fed. I don't know. But that's how we live. It's like, okay, I'm going to Wegmans and I got to get this and I got to do that. And we fail to consider the Great Commission, the job that we are actually here on earth to do. John chapter 20 and verse 21 says this. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. We've been commissioned. We've been sent to be soul winners. Nowhere in that passage do I see that, well, this doesn't really apply to me, or this doesn't, I'm not qualified, or I'm called to be a witness no matter where I go. The problem is we always get distracted. We get distracted with work, and we get distracted with our own jobs and responsibilities and things, and we fail to see all the lost around us. So what's involved in soul winning? Three things tonight. Three things involved in soul winning. Number one, a lost person. A lost person. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 verse 1 says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear." Reminds me of Peter. I think it's Peter. Verse 2. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Is that true? Does sin separate man from God? Yes. It takes his own personal creation and makes it his enemy. Because God is what? God is holy. God is holy. We were here one day setting up, and I don't know who did, but someone had a bunch of those little snack bags of chips. Ever see those? Like little Cheetos and things like that? I think it was Megan's son. Maybe not. One of the kids. I don't mean to point anybody out. They didn't do anything bad. And their hands, their three fingers were completely orange. And they're walking towards me, and I'm just, "Don't touch anything." Why? "Because you're dirty. I love you, but you're dirty." God is holy. And for him to do this with us will make him dirty. And he can't. And our sins have separated us from God. And that's where the lost person finds themselves. Separated from God. Man, doesn't it break your heart when you hear about maybe a marriage that's breaking apart, and man, you just want to get in there and just grab his hand and grab her hand and just put it back together. Breaks your heart. A friendship that's separated, a union, something that ought to be together that isn't. That's what the soul winner does. Goes and takes the hand of the lost and introduces them to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2. What's involved in soul winning? Number one, the lost. A lost person is. A lot of my illustrations revolve around children and Trapper. We've made a lot of mistakes with Trapper because I expect Trapper to not act like a dog. And he constantly acts like a dog. He eats trash. Say, how do you prevent that? Well, move the trash. I have to take the trash away from him because he keeps eating trash to the point where he's sick. Eats himself sick eating trash. Because it's trash. If it was good, we'd eat it. But we throw away trash. And he keeps acting like a dog. And it frustrates me that he acts like a dog. And sometimes we get frustrated with the lost for acting like lost. And we have no patience. "And you hath he quickened," verse 1, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walk according to the course of this world." See, they're lost. They don't have the indwelling Holy Spirit. They have no morality code. They're sinners. "According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Such were some of you, right? It was us. when I asked how many of you were lost, we all were. Sometimes we forget. How do I get over that? You get over that by dealing with the lost. Get over that by having compassion on the lost. Understanding that they're in their sinful state. To love and help the lost. To direct thoughts away from the world and towards heaven. That's what our obligation is towards the lost. Teach them what sin is according to the Bible. Challenge them to think about the gospel and their need of salvation. That is our obligation towards the lost. Pray for their salvation. Many a times I see people partnering and buddying up with those that are lost, and it brings fear to my heart, because I know evil communications can corrupt good manners. And under that umbrella, they say, well, I'm just trying to reach my friends. Okay, or the lost. How can I ever... Okay, but are we doing these things? Are we directing the thoughts away from the world? Or are we going to participate in worldly activities and never mentioning heaven? Are we vocalizing what the Bible says of sin? Are we challenging them to think of the gospel and their need of salvation? Are we praying for their salvation? What's involved in soul winning? Number one, we need a lost person. But let's remember the sinful state of the lost person. Say they're vulgar. Yes. They're without Christ. Do we love and care for them? Number two. Go to Acts chapter 1. What else is involved in soul winning? Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We're commanded to be witnesses all over, whether it's locally or far away. But we're given a great tool. What is that tool? The Holy Spirit of God. Because you know what's happening right now? The Holy Spirit of God is working in people's lives. Some people, God is completely turning their world upside down at this moment. And you have no idea. There you are with your little Wegmans cart. And they're like, hi, how are you today? And great. Did you find everything that you're looking for? Yes, and much more. You'll see with the bill. Didn't even know I needed chocolate-covered whatever. And there you are at the end of the conversation. God is telling you, say something about me. It's just the Wegmans cashier. They're happy. Look, she's got a wedding ring on. She's happy. She doesn't need Jesus. I'm sure she goes to church herself. But you don't know what the Holy Spirit of God is doing in her life right that day. There you go. You pull out your gospel track and say, hey, Lord made a difference in my life. Can can I just give you a gospel tract? It'll tell you about the Lord. If there's anything I can ever do here, my number's on there, just call the church or whatever. We'd love to be a blessing and help to you. And you don't think anything about it. But that lady's life is turned upside down. And that's exactly what she needed. And God was working in that. And you think, handed out 5 tracts today and saw nothing. Who knows? But the Holy Spirit is behind it all. And He gives us power. And He gives us wisdom. And He guides and directs us. How many times have we heard people give testimony of, there we were at a gas stop, or there we were pumping gas, and guys over there on the bike, motorcycle, and he was scary, and Lord's telling me, go talk to him, and it's like, I don't want to talk to him, and then you get over there, and hey, thanks so much, I used to go to church, my grandma used to take, and it's like, wow, you're a human, and you're not eating me, it's like, wow, this is great, this is nice, and man, I've had more better responses from those guys than the guy walking down the street in a suit, honestly. But it's the Lord that brings those appointments together. Just the other day, I was getting water and, well, it hadn't rained in like 10 days here. And so I was getting water and the lady was, little old lady gets out of this car and she's got 4 empty jugs. I'm like, stop, let me help you, She's like, oh, thank you. Got to give her a gospel track. And what were the chances of us to... I don't know what God's doing in her life. But the Holy Spirit put it all together. John chapter 16, and verse 8. He said, I don't know what to say. Talk about what God did for you. Holy Spirit is powerful. John chapter 16 and verse 8, and when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Do you understand that's not your job? I do not need to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That is the Holy Spirit of God's work. I simply deliver the message. Hey, can I tell you something that God loves you, and that He died on the cross for you. Say, what do I need that? Because you're a sinner. Have you ever sinned before? Yeah. Here, let me show you what the Bible says. You talk for a few minutes and say, you know what? A lot of those verses that we talked about today are right here. Can I give you that? I'm not going to execute judgment on him. That's God's job. God is the judge. I'm simply trying to take a dirty hand and put it in the hand of God. Introduce two people together. You going to use that? No? Okay. Anything. Okay. What's involved in soul winning? Number one, the lost. Number two, the Holy Spirit of God. And number three, the soul winner. John chapter 10 and verse 14. Last point tonight. We're going to take a few weeks and cover this topic. Next week we're going to look at how we as soul winners, or how we can properly prepare to be soul winners. Preparation is very important. Got to be prepared. No one likes to be unprepared, right? No one likes to get to a place and my father-in-law, that man never takes his shoes off. Why? Because he's always ready to go. He's prepared. We need to be as soul winners prepared. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The third component of what's involved in soul winning. Number one, we need the lost. Number two, the Holy Spirit of God. But number three, we need a soul winner. We need someone that has compassion on the lost. We need someone that truly cares for those that are dying and going to hell. Because the Bible says that they need a preacher. A preacher is someone that simply delivers a message. Some of the greatest sermons I've ever heard that had the largest impact on my life were out of my mom's mouth. She was a preacher. And although she never stood behind the pulpit, she could get it going. How shall they hear without a preacher? We're all called to fulfill the Great Commission. So that's just not my... How shall they hear then? How are they going to know? If we went around the room and talked about all the places that our feet will touch tomorrow. Where do you work? Where do you go? What are you doing? Do you see the amount of influence we could possibly have for the cause of Christ? We're sending preachers all throughout. Imagine if you came here next Wednesday or this Wednesday or next Sunday. And no one stood up here. No message was preached. You talk amongst yourselves. Communicate how your week went. And after a while, you just go home. What happens if tomorrow the Lord has set up an appointment between you and somebody else? You never vocalize that. How shall they hear without a preacher? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. In verse 20. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We represent something. We represent God Himself. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but Jesus Christ is no longer on the earth. He died, He was buried, and He rose again. And He said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to sit down at the Father, or right hand of the Father. I'll send the Holy Spirit of God, and now you are my witnesses. You now are the body of Christ. Deliver the message. It is our responsibility. We are to use the Scripture. If we simply reiterate experiences or our personal thoughts, well, that's not nearly as powerful as the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, last verse. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So do you understand that the word of God produces faith? The more Bible we can talk about, and the more verses we can read, well, the more opportunity of faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is it that we're going to talk about as preachers? The Word of God. What is it that we're going to share? The Word of God. So this week, it's going to take some prayer. It's going to take some courage. How many of you say, I lack courage, pray for me? Anybody? Yeah. Brother Rice, you raise your hand. All right. Isn't that something? The person that you would think, oh man, they're on it. They like witnessing. He's asking, pray for me. I need courage. So this next week, the Lord is going to bring somebody by your way. Maybe multiple people. Maybe a group of people. And you're going to have an opportunity to give the gospel. So how do you know that? Because God cares about the lost. And God died for the lost, and right now God is doing a work in somebody's life. And he's drawing somebody to himself, and he's looking for a preacher to deliver the message, to deliver the word. Question is, will we be that soul winner? Will we be that one that makes an introduction between a holy, righteous God and someone who's lost? Let's be faithful in praying for the lost. Let's be faithful in being a witness to the lost. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. Hey, pray for one another. God would give courage. Say, Pastor Russo, do you get nervous? Yes. Do you come up with excuses? I got a long list of excuses of why I can or shouldn't, and it probably isn't the right time, and all those things, just like you. Say, how do you overcome them? Well, sometimes I don't. Sorry to say. I've been trying to be more faithful with it. Trying to be more courageous. No one's hit me. No one said anything mean to me. Actually, surprisingly, people have been quite encouraged that someone cares for them. Genuinely cares. That little lady with her four water jugs really appreciated it. That someone would stop, listen to her. I really appreciate the person that led me to the Lord. It's been 30 years now. We've been commissioned to do a work. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful, that we would be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. God, that we would use your word, and that we would be good ambassadors, and that you would be pleased with us. Lord, I pray that we would have the ability to make an impact on eternity this week. Lord, give us courage. Give us humility at the same time. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful soul winners this week. Again, that you would be glorified. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.